All right. Welcome everyone. We are on Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph 31A. This Gemara gets, it's technical is the wrong word because when I use the word technical, that's a scary term. It sounds like, it's something that's difficult to understand and it's arcane concepts. Basically, all we're going to be doing for the majority of our time is just going through all the different holidays of the year and listing what the Kriyas HaTorah is and what the Haftarah is for those days. That is essentially all that what we're doing. But Rashi, the first Rashi in the Gemara, gives us a little bit of a heads up. Essentially, a good chunk of the Gemara is basically quoting a Braisa. But the Braisa, as Rashi tells us, since Shabraisa Nishnis Be'eretz Yisrael, Shein Osin Yom Tov El Yom Echad, this Braisa originates from Eretz Yisrael. So it didn't have to reckon with what do you do for Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, that we have 2 days of Yontif in a diaspora. So the Gemara is going to keep interjecting over and over again and filling in what do we do nowadays that we have Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios. That's key term for today. Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios is the double Yom Tov due to being in exile. Okay. And there'll be a nice little Gadata in there. And then we're going to spend a little bit of time analyzing this really small Tosos, the second Tos on the page, which talks about the laning for Mincha on Yom Kippur. Which there's actually some really interesting sub-commentary on Tosos there that we'll get into. Henry's, I see your smile. You already took a glance at it. So it's always something that, you know what? I always saw that Tosos quoted, like, in the art scroll, the footnotes in the Machzor, and like, it always amused me. So we're going to go a little deeper into it. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, we have a fun Tosos waiting for us at the end. So there's something a little bit more lively to look forward to as well. So here we go. And Henry and any other Bali Kriya here? All right, so Henry, you'll tell me what the actual laning is for the things that are inaccurate. Tosos picks up on some of the issues already. Okay, here we go. Tanarabanan, Ba Pesach, Korban Parshas Moados, Maftira Pesach Gilgal. So okay, on the first day of Pesach, we're reading from the Parsha of the Moados. That's what it said in the Mishnah as well. And we have Haftorah of Gilgal, which is Yehoshua Perek A. Now the Gemara interjects, but in Tikatre Yome, now that we have 2 days of Yontif, Yoma Kama Pesach Gilgal, Lamachra Pesach Yoshiyahu. So we have two different, the same Kriyas HaTorah, two different Haftoros for the 2 different days of the first days of Pesach. Okay, makes sense. Good. Ushari Mosa Pesach and the other days of Pesach, Malaki Vakorim in Yanoshal Pesach. We will collect different leanings that pertain to the topic of Pesach. So Maihi, what is it referring to? One opinion is Amra Papa Mapav Simen. Now Mem Aleph Pei Vav. What does that stand for? Four different leanings. If you look at Rashi tells us, that's one. Im Aleph, Kesav Tilves Ami. Number three, Solicha. And then number four, Vayedavrish. So all of these different leanings have to do with Exodus of Egypt, have to do with the Ten Commandments. So there you have it. It's all thematic to Pesach, and that's what we are reading over the course of the Yantip, over the holiday. And going back inside. Now that's called Moed. Yom Tov HaAchroshel Pesach. What do we do on the last day of Pesach? Korin Vahiv B'Shalach. So we read Vahiv B'Shalach, which is Shemos Perek Yud Gimel. Umaftirin Vayedaber Dovin. And the Haftorah is from Shmuel Beis, Perek Chaf Beis. However, comes in Abaye now and disagrees with Rav Papa's understanding of the laning. Amar Abaye, nowadays, Nahug Alma Lemikri, Mashach Tura, Kadish Bekaspel, Psol B'Midbara, Sholach Buchrat. So this This is a very it's a very entertaining mnemonic. I like how you put it together. So pull the shore, pull the ox, sanctify the kesef, the silver, stall the midbara, chisel out in the wilderness, and send the firstborn. And basically all these, I mean, you can look, the citations are in the Gemara and the Masoret HaShatz, or I'm sure Art Scroll gives it straight to you as well. I'm not going to read them all out, but again, these are all different selected leanings that pertain to the theme of the holiday. Good. So that is Pesach. Moving on to Shavuos. Batzeres Shiva Shavuos. Well, that makes sense. We naturally read about the 7 weeks leading up to Shavuos. Umaftir b'Chavakuk, and our Haftorah is Chavakuk. And Achirmomrim, however, there's an alternative opinion. Bachodesh Hashlishi, we read from Bachodesh Hashlishi, which is Shemos Perikut S. And Maftir b'Merkava, and Haftorah is the Maisa Merkava in Yecheskel, the vision, the chariot, and all that stuff. But in but nowadays, Yome, Ibcha. Nowadays, we don't, you know, there's a machlokis, what the right Haftorah is. Well, now we have 2 days, so why not both? Wait, so we just reverse the order, but that way, Efshar L'Kayem Shneihem, everybody gets a chance to lay in their Haftorah that they wanted. Okay. Moving on to Rosh Hashanah. Barosh Hashanah, Bachodesh Hashvi, and Haftorah is Maftirin HaBen Yaker Li Ephraim, which, of course, also is put into the Musaf Shemona Esrei. Right, we know that because many of the Chassanim like to sing HaBeYakerli, right? So that's at least that's why I remember it. For a little bit, I pay attention, right? V'yesh Omrim, Vashem Pakad es Sarah, that we read about the story of Sarah having Yitzchak, Umaftir Bechana, and naturally we talk about one woman who had difficulty with having a child, infertility. So we talk about Naftorah, another woman who struggled and through miraculous means overcame infertility, which was Chana, Shmuel's mother. But in nowadays, Digatreyome, right? Isn't it amazing how like Yom Tov Shein Shel Galios just like solves all these problems for us? It's like it's almost like it's a good thing to be. I'm not saying it's a good thing. But in a Digatreyome, Yoma Kama Ki Yesh Omrim. So the first day follows the Yesh Omrim, and Lemachar, the next day, Elokim Nisa Es Avraham. We read God tests Avraham, the Akedah, I believe, Maftir and Haben Yakir, and we read Haben Yakir at the end.
Well,
That.
excuse me. I thought that in Israel they do have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah.
Sorry. Yes. Sorry. You are correct on that. You are correct on that. Every other holiday, I picked a bad time to make that observation. Yes, in Israel they
I don't
have
know, but I mean, but the Gemara doesn't seem to acknowledge it. In other
well,
words, the
it's not inherently a 2-day Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah, see, the thing is, it takes time. The reason we have Yom Tov Shein Shel Galios is because, you know, think about our Yom Tov, and they come out the 15th of Nisan, you know, Tishrei, in the middle of the month. So all these other holidays in Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't take a lot of time to get the word out. So therefore is 1 day. In Golos, it takes more time. So we have Yom Shishi Shavuos. But Rosh Hashanah, since it's the beginning of the month, and there's really no time to get the word out because it's literally the first day of the month, it's the beginning of the year. So I believe that's why Eretz Yisrael had to adopt that. But you're right. You're saying it sounds like some point later in time they instituted it. Yeah, at some point Chazal would have had to institute 2 days of Rosh Hashanah because inherently it's not a 2-day Yom Tov. Yeah, that's a good observation, Toby. All right, Rabosai. B'Yom HaKippurim, on Yom Kippur, Korin Acharemos. We read from Acharemos, which of course has passages that talk about Yom Kippur. Maftirin, Kicho Amar Ram V'Nisa. And now Yom Kippur is special. It has laning at Mincha time. Uba Mincha, Korim Ba'arayos, umaftirin biyona. So mincha, we read the parsha of the Arayos, which is really just a continuation in Achrimos, which is the whole list of different sexual prohibitions. And of course, the famous slash infamous Haftorah of Sefer Yonah. On the one hand, any other day of the year, it would be very infamous, but, you know, Yom Kippur's not going to end any faster if the guy finishes the Haftorah faster. So, you know, it's not such a big deal if you don't have your fastest later for Yonah. Assuming someone is keeping track of the time, making sure to eat. You never want to eat to go overtime. That's not good news. Not good news. Right? Even for those folks who want the speaker to go overtime, no one wants the Ela to go overtime. That we can all agree on. We have consensus. Okay. Amar Rav Yochanan. So here is a absolutely beautiful Agadah. So we'll circle back to the landing for Yom Kippur. There's a few interesting insights. But this is a very beautiful Agadah, which relates to the Haftorah for Yom Kippur. So Amar Rav Yochanan, that's why it's coming up right now. It's not just a non sequitur. Rav Yochanan, kol makom she'ata motzi gvuraso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ata motzi avisanuso. It's always a tongue twister for me. Avisanuso. Wherever you find the might of God, you find his humility as well. So, davar zeh kasuv b'Torah, u'shar li b'neviim, u'mashulash b'ksuvim. We find it in the Torah, in the Sifrei Nevuah, as well as in Ksuvim. Let's go through three examples of this. Kasuv b'Torah, it says in the Torah, so God is the master of all masters. Uksiv basre, and subsequently, and then how does God wield his might? Ose mishpat yasam valmana, he exacts justice by standing up for the orphan and the widow. Shonai b'neviim, it comes up, this theme comes up again in Neviim. Comes up in, where's my Dalet? Yishayahu.
Yeah.
Yishayahu. Ko amar rav v'nisa shokhin av kadosh. So all these different descriptions of how mighty and how remarkable God is. And, you know, God wields all this power. And what does he do with it? Uchsiv basrei, v'sdaka shvul ruach. It doesn't quote the rest of the pasuk. I'll quote it for you, Lahach Yos Ruach Shafam, Lahach Yos Lev Nidkayim, that God stands up for those who are the downtrodden and lowly of spirit. That's what God does with his strength. And then finally, Meshulash B'Ksuvim, it comes up in the book of writings, Dechsiv, Solu L'Rochi Baravos B'Kashimo, that we should praise God who rides on the heavens. By the way, very interesting. When I took Intro to Bible, my professor Moshe Bernstein made this point. I'm sure it'll come up in our Thursday class at some point, that the epithet of he who rides on the clouds was actually what was used to describe Baal. Baal, which was the sky god, was known as the one who rides on the clouds. So it's really interesting how that kind of phraseology got incorporated into Tehillim. Just a little footnote, just throwing that one out over there. So whenever we'd sing Zemir, it's like, Rochei Baravos. And, you know, we'd always make jokes about that. Anyway, it's talking about God's might again, and Uksiv Basrei, and immediately following, how is God mighty? Avi Yisomim V'Dayan Amanos, he's a father to the orphans and is a judge for the widows. So we see this principle, that how does one wield their strength? True strength is standing up for those who can't stand up for themselves. Beautiful idea. Back to our featured presentation. Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, Korim B'Parshas Moavos. Now we're up to Sukkot. We just finished Yom Kippur. We're up to Sukkot. We're going through the whole year, guys, right now. You get a whole, it's like time travel right here. Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, Korim B'Parshas Moavos Shabbatoros Kohanim. So on the first day of Sukkot, we read the parsha of the different holidays that comes up in Vayikra. Umaftirin hine yom ba l'Hashem, that the day of God is coming. Va'ina de'ikatre yomim, but now we have 2 days of Yom Tov Rishon. L'machar Mikra Hachinavi Karina. We read the same thing the next day. Bafturei Mai, but what's the Haftorah? Maftirim Vekahalu El Hamelech Shlomo, that they all gathered to Shlomo, because this took place on Sukkot. Good. Now, getting to Chol HaMoed, Ushar Klei Mosachag Kurma Karbanos Achag, we read about the Karbanos of Sukkot. And then, Yom Tov HaAcharon Korin Kol HaBachor, Mitzvos HaChukim HaBachor. So read Kol HaBachor, which that reading includes miscellaneous mitzvos and chukim, as well as a discussion of the Bachor. Maftirin Vahika Halos Shlomo, we have the Haftorah on the theme again of Shlomo HaMelech. And then Lamachar, for the final day, this is Shmini Atzeres, Korin Vizos HaBracha, we finish, we read Vizos HaBracha. Sorry?
I think here it didn't say that the hyena about the 2 days, but really it's.
I think it's the Gemara now, actually. It's not the Bryce anymore. I mean.
Yeah, so the Kol HaBachor is on Shmini Atzeres, at least in the Chutz La'aretz.
Yeah, let me. I think the Bryce and the fish. Yeah, I'm just looking here in my Masifta. It says, "A Gemara Mevaris Hechan Kor Maftir B'Shabbat." For some reason, I thought the Gemara might step in over here. I'm not sure if it's still the bracer. Okay, it seems to be. Yeah, good observation. Yeah. So, all right, Lamacher, right, oh, sorry, yeah, you're correct, my mistake. Right, so the next day, you're correct, Lamacher, right, this is Yom Tov Shein. It's interesting, didn't say Veha Idna, right, good observation, didn't say Veha Idna this time, it said Lamacher. Interesting change of language. So Lamacher, Korin Vizos HaBracha, this is right, this is Simchas Torah, Maftirin Vayamo Shlomo. So we read Vizos HaBracha at the end, and well, for those who are not in Eretz Yisrael, who are not doing the triennial cycle, it makes a lot of sense because we actually finish reading through the Torah at that point. And we'll get to Tosus on there as well soon. Going forward, we're almost done, guys. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Sheish, Amar Rav. Shabbos Shechal Yos B'chol Shomoy. What do you do on Shabbos Chol Moed? Beba Pesach, Beba Sukkos. Whether it's Pesach, whether it's Sukkos. Mika Karina Re'eh Tam. So we read from Re'eh Tam, which is Shemos Lamed Gimel, and Afturei B'Pesach Atzamos Hayaveshos, we have the reading of a prophecy of the dry bones, because what happened was these were the ones who went up to fight the Plishtim, and they'll get revived. This is all in the post-Pesach or Pesach narrative, so that's the connection. V'sukos B'yom B'Gog, and the battle of Gog U'Magog at the end of the days, which presumably will take place on Sukkot. Now, getting to the minor holidays, the Chanukah b'Nisim. So Chanukah, we talk about the Chanukah Samizbeach, the Mishkan. So it's all related. So in Chanukah, we read about the Nisim, Maftirim b'Neros Zechariah, and Haftorah is the Neros of Zechariah. Makes sense. We're talking about candles. The Miklash Shtei Shabbosos, if it turns out it is 8 days, so in theory, you could have Shabbos at the beginning of Chanukah and Shabbos at the end of Chanukah. So if it turns out that way, Kamaisa Benir Zechariah, Besraisa Benir Shlomo. So one after talks about the Neros of Zechariah, one talks about the candles of Shlomo. The Purim Vayav Amalek, Purim we read, Vayav Amalek, and then came Amalek. Barashi Chadashim, Ubarashi Chashichem. What do we read on Rosh Chodesh? We read about Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh Chalitz B'Shabbos. What do we do when Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos? So then, Maftirin, behind the Chodesh B'Chadsho, from one Chodesh to another. So it's Haftorah that talks about Chodeshim, about months. Chalitz B'Ech B'Shabbos. What if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Sunday? So may Esmol, from the day before, meaning the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, Maftirin Vayomer Lo Yehonasan, Machar Chodesh. You have the Haftorah of Machar Chodesh. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh, which Very on the nose is, of course, befitting when the next day is Rosh Chodesh. Finally, Amar Rav Huna, turning the Amud. Rosh Chodesh Av. Let's talk about Rosh Chodesh Av and Tisha B'Av. Rosh Chodesh Av Shekhal Yotz B'Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh Av pulls out Shabbos. We have a special Haftorah for that, unlike the rest of the year. Maftirin Chodshichem O'adichem Son HaNafshi Hayu Alay LeTorah. That your months and your holidays, my soul has despised, and they become a tircha. They become an imposition on me. They become a bother for me. So, my Hayu Alay LeTorah, what does it mean that it's a tircha for God? So what it means is, another little bit of an agata to hear, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Dai Lan Yisrael Shechotan Lefanai. It's not bad enough that the Jewish people transgress my will, but now, since I have to give them consequences for it, El Shemat Richadosi Leita Ezog Zer Kasha B'Yalim. But I, knowing what the commensurate consequence is, it pains me to know what I have to give to them as a result for their sins. So, you know, it's, you can think of it psychologically. We're not at that stage yet where we can really, it's a little bit harder to discipline because a child needs enough theory of mind to understand that there are consequences. So we're not at that stage yet, but I would presume for a parent to punish their child, you know, if you set certain standards, you say, if you don't do this, then you won't get candy. So whatever, it still hurts you to do it, but you have to do it because you set a standard. So, okay, it makes sense.
It's very appropriate, but we don't read it.
Right. Okay, thank you. This is why we especially need Henry for these Gemaras here. What do we actually read?
No, it's part of the three Haftorahs from Yirmiyahu, right?
Shoshana Parnusa, yeah.
Yeah, for social producer, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
It's the first parak of Yeshayahu.
Right.
If the Gemara has the Haftorahs we're supposed to read, why are Sephardi Haftorahs different?
Well, it never tells you how much of it you have to read, right? The question is, why are we so long? Let me ask it from the other angle. One time I think someone wants to read Haftorah and like he wasn't so used to it. It was for Bar Mitzvah Marsha, and like he gets and he's about to, this happened at 8 o'clock or and he's like, oh no, I didn't prepare. I didn't realize like I only looked at the Sephardic one. I didn't look at how long the Ashkenazic one was. And I'm like, look, I can't officially sanction anything, but if you start from where the Sephardim start, I doubt anyone's gonna ban an eyelash. Nothing's gonna happen. But
Rabbi, in the Talmud Yerushalmi, do they have different Haftorahs listed?
Yeah, I think we may have even discussed this last week when what was the inconsistency we saw last week? There was inconsistency that we brought up. When we talked about fast days. Right, so we said that on fast days, only in the top of Aleph and Aleph, it says we read the brachos and klalos, the blessings and curses. But that's not, we read Vayichal on fast days. So I think it was Maseches Sofrim, actually. Maseches Sofrim, it has Vayichal. So the question is, what do you do when you have different traditions? So each thing needs to be reconciled on its own terms. But the answer over there that we gave was that there's a difference between the calendaric fast days that we have versus the ad hoc ones that are made when there's no rain for a while. So, you know, but sometimes we just have to prefer one tradition over the other. In fact, Tosfos, we're going to get to soon, is really bothered by this general inconsistency. And we're going to look at a particular example very soon. Okay, but let's wrap up the Gemara. We'll get to the two dots. So, Tisha B'Av, Gufei, what's the Haftorah on Tisha B'Av? Amarav, Eicha Haisa Lizona. Okay, fits very nicely. It even has the word Eicha in it. Mikra Mai. So, then what is the landing mark? What's the Kriyas Haftorah? Tanya, we have a number of opinions. Acher Momrev, Inlo Sishmu Li. Ravazra Yosef Omer, Ad Anayinat Suni Hamazah. That's number two. Number three. The Yeshomrim, Amasai Lida Harahazos, number four, Arabaye, but nowadays, Inna, Nog Alamikri, Kisolibanim, that's the laning, Maftirin, Asofasi Fame, if there is, I will certainly destroy you. So that, Henry, can we get a confirmation on that one?
That's Tisha B'Av morning, that's correct, yes.
Okay, that is indeed what we do. That is indeed what we do. Very good. What do I do with the Bali Kriyam Gavayim here with me? Okay, good. So that brings us to the end of the Gemara we need to cover today. Paul?
Yeah, is there anything to be made of the fact that for the last half an Amud, if not more, there's no attribution to any Rav, nor is there any dispute among them?
Is there not? There's no dispute here?
Well, there is. Yeah.
We had, I mean, there is some. I mean, we had, you know, all you're saying is that it says Acherim as opposed to someone's actual name.
It's as if they all got together and read and wrapped this up before they even got to this point.
Right. Well, I guess what happened was in the Brisa, there's some variants. And then we said, and then the, you know, this is the Babylonian Talmud. So they're like, big deal. We have 2 days of Yom anyway. We'll accommodate everybody. You know, we don't need the easiest ritual meeting ever. We can accommodate everyone. When do you hear that at a meeting? We can accommodate everyone. But it worked out. But yeah, that's a good observation, Paul. That's a good observation there. But you want to find some disagreement, I'll give you some disagreement right now. Take a look on Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. Back to where we started. Let's actually start with the third Tosfos, and then we'll come back to the second. Because the second one, I have even more material on. So let's start with the third one, which is a little bit quicker. So we said for Simchas Torah, right? That's Yom Tov Shein Shel Galios for Shmini Atzeres. So we read V'zos HaBracha, and HaTorah is by Yamot Shlomo. So Tosfos notes, V'yesh Mekomos, Shinagu Lahaftir, Vivaihi Acharemos Moshe, the beginning of Sefer Yeshua, which Henry will tell us is indeed what we lain. Shibashu, but this is a corrupted text. This is a mistaken belief. Shahare Hashas ain't overcame. Because if you look in the Gemara, well, the Gemara says otherwise. The Gemara says Vayamod Shlomo. So what right do we have to lain from Yehoshua? Yesh Omrim. Rav Haigon Rav Haigon was the one who instituted this, so he might be very early. He's in the Gaonim, but that's still he's post Talmud. So what right does he have to disagree with the Talmud? Avon Yodin Hasvara. Tosa says, I don't know his reasoning. Amai Shina Seder Hashas. Why he would differ from the Gemara? Now I should note, I think this one Tosa. I misread this Tosa the first time. I thought Tosa was initially saying, I don't understand the logic for laning from the beginning of Sefer Yeshua. Tosos can intuit it the same way we can. The logic is, well, you just finished HaChamish HaChamshi Torah, read the HaFtorah from the beginning of the Sefer Nevuah from Yeshua. I think the Bali Tosos were smart enough to figure that one out. What they mean is, I don't see why it was appropriate for him to use his own logic to disagree with the Gemara, because the Amorayim and the Tanoim probably occurred to them to read that also, yet they didn't say that. So Tosa's question, I think, is more, what right do Rav Haigon have with his own Sfara to disagree with the Bali Talmud, especially when it's not unreasonable to think that the rabbis of the Gemara could have also thought about this and yet elected not to go with Sefer Yeshua for the Haftorah. So that's that Tosa over there, but just we already see that there were different traditions post-Talmud, and even, you know, the Rishonim here are trying to figure out what is going on. I have an explicit Gemara here. Why are you deviating from that? So Tosis doesn't have a good answer, so I don't have a good answer. Okay. Now, go back to the previous Tosis, the second one, the Mincha Korin Barayas. I want to talk about the reading on Yom Kippur. So unlike other holidays, Yom Kippur, we have laning in the afternoon, not just in the morning. So the question is, though, Rav Akiva Eger asks, what is the nature of this reading that takes place during Mincha time? And by the way, I remember this happens to me every year. I'm like, you know, we're ready to start Mincha on Yom Kippur. I remember I was on an event this year, and someone's like, we got to start. I'm like, all right, I'm like, oh, no. And they're like, no, go straight to Leibnik. So I, as Chatim Eskari Yom, every year it gets me. Like, when we say, oh, start Mincha, Ashri, I'm like, wait, we don't start with Ashri. So anyway, Rabbi Akiva Inger asked, is the laning at Mincha on Yom Kippur, is it a laning? Is it because Yom Kippur is a fast day, therefore we have laning in the afternoon, just like on any public fast day? Or is the laning that takes place on Yom Kippur afternoon unique to the Kedusha Sayyom, to the sanctity of Yom Kippur? So what is the difference? Well, one is, it seems it has to do with Yom Kippur because we're not laning by Echal, which is on every other public fast day, pretty much. So what's going on? Well, here's the Nafka Mina. In general, we talked about this a little bit last week. Someone who's not fasting shouldn't be getting an aliyah to the Torah on a fast day. We said that you need 10, or at least the majority of the minyan, to be fasting in order to say, you know, to have a neinu put into Shemona Esrei, and to lane, to even lane to begin with. You need enough men that are, enough men that are actually fasting. So, question is, if someone, for whatever reason, medical or whatever, they're not fasting, can they get an aliyah to Mincha on Yom Kippur? Well, it depends. If we say the laning is due to being a public fast day, then they can't get an aliyah on Mincha Yom Kippur like any fast day. If it's due to the Kedushas Yom Kippur, well, then it has nothing really to do with the fact whether they're fasting or not. Yom Kippur is a holy day for you, whether you're fasting or whether you're not fasting. So then they could get an aliyah. So that's a question that Rav Akiva Eger raises. I guess truth be told, I'm not really, you know, scanning people's IDs as they come in to figure out whether they're fasting or not. I leave all the honors, Yom Kippur, to Howard Rothman and the rest of the folks who figured it all out ahead of time. I just get up there and say, we now honor, what's that guy's name? So-and-so to do such and such. It's a lot of fun in there. Okay. Now, let's read the Tosafot. Tosafot says, why do we lane during Mincha the Parsha of the Arayos, the sexual sins? L'fi shehanashim mekoshtos b'shvil kavod hayom, because the women are coming to shul and they're adorning themselves because it's Yom Kippur, it's the biggest social event of the year. Therefore, we need to lay the parsha of the Arayos to exhort everyone not to commit anything that would be promiscuous, that would not constitute propriety when this is taking place. That's one opinion that Tosos gives. The other opinion that Tosos gives is a little bit more agadic. Uve medrash, yesh shalakach korim barayos, it's a form of symbolism. We're giving a bit of a drasha to Hashem. As God commanded us not to unveil one's nakedness, so too God should not uncover our hidden place and reveal our sins on Yom Kippur. So that's more of an agadic approach to why we have the lady. What's probably the most Pashtun approach to why we read the Parsha of the Arayos and Mincha? Henry,
it's in the same Parsha we read in the morning, so you just keep going.
Yeah, it's an Achrimos. So, you know, let's learn from Achrimos. No one mentions that, but so now let's understand this. What's a question you can ask on Tosos? So, right, let's say we take the first opinion. The reason is to exhort everyone to be careful not to commit any impropriety on Yom Kippur. So what's the question I can ask about the laning when it takes place? If you were to ask
why did you do it, wait till Mincha to lane it? You should lane it earlier.
Yeah, yeah. If anything, the laning should take place at Chakras, right? Chakras is when you get, maybe davening was different back then, but I don't think it was that different. I think Chakras Musaf is when you're going to get the biggest bang for your buck. That's when the Yisker, they didn't have Yisker back then. They weren't smart enough back then to have Yisker then. but I think even back then, you're going to get the biggest masses are going to come out for Shacharis and Musaf. That's when the babysitting's taking place. Everyone's coming out for that. So I'm trying to figure out all the reasons why chakras is valued more. But okay, so what is a possible approach? One approach that's given by the Divrei Yoel. The Divrei Yoel says, because what's going to happen? At the beginning of the day, you have more emas hadin. You're still really concerned about, am I going to earn atonement from God? How am I going to come before Hashem and pray that he forgive me, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, you're already winding down and you start letting your guard down because you're like, oh, my atonement is almost complete. The fast is almost over. I can't wait for the whole Suda that's waiting for me at home. I can't wait to drink that first bit of scotch right after, apparently, right? There's some people apparently at our shul who decide to have scotch first thing after Yom Kippur. I'm not throwing out any names. So your guard is let down. So therefore, the laying takes place at Mincha in order to invigorate everyone's resolve to keep very scrupulously to the mitzvahs in the Torah way. Maybe I have a hard time buying it. It's a nice drasha. Honestly, I'm not going to get up and shul give that drasha. But I don't know. Did it resonate with you? Maybe I just didn't do a good job presenting it persuasively because sometimes the kash is better than the terrors. The question is better than the answer. Another thing that I wanted to share was the Emes Yaakov. The Emes Yaakov Tosus gave two reasons why we lay in the Parsha of the Urias for Yom Kippur Mincha. One was because people are going to become dressed in all their fanciest clothing. We don't want anything bad going down. And number two, as a drash that Hashem should not uncover our sins. The Emes Yaakov says, he actually connects us to the Gemara toward the end of Titus. The Gemara at the end of Titus talks about how that Yom Kippur, the daughters of Jerusalem would go out and they would be dancing out there in the vineyards. And then this is like the shidduch event of the year. And then all the bachrim, all the lads would come out and they would select a lass for themselves.
Yom Kippur and Tubav. It talks about both at the end of time.
Right, it connects them there. Mm-hmm. So, right. Everyone always talks about Tubav. No one ever talks about Yom Kippur. So yeah, it's a good point. So what's it? What Lefikach Korba Parshas Arayos Leda Lahazer Mihin Amutoros Lelina Say Mihin Harayos Asur. Therefore, why do we read the Parsha of the Arayos? So you remember, by the way, there are certain people who aren't eligible for you to marry. So here's that list of people who you're not allowed to marry. Now, with that knowledge of what the qualifications are, go out and find yourself a wife. again, maybe it's possible. I have to say, A plus for creativity. I love the connection to that Gemara and Titus. Like, just when you know Shas well and you have like a bird's eye view and you can just connect these ideas together. I mean, just that's like a remarkable connection. I did not think of that. So even if you don't find it compelling as pshat, I think it's still very creative and worthy of mention. Paul, you had a okay. So those are the ideas I want to share with you tonight. Hold on to all this for Yom Kippur, and we draw ever closer to the CM. There is a link that is live now. I think I sent it out to email list. It's on the shul website. Please do sign up. Henry, I'm sorry to get back to your email. You're saving it for your mother's yard site, Shema Shem Aliyah. God willing, we'll celebrate together in person when you're next here. We should go out to 613. We should make our own CM. But February 26th, guys, please mark your calendars. Please sign up. And really excited, Mir Shem, to be celebrating with all of you very soon. And make sure to get yourself a Maseches Sukkah for our next Masechta, God willing. All right, a good Shabbos, everyone.
Thank you.
Birth to you.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.